I'm Russ White for MSU Today, joined by Ingo Brash. He's an MSU Assistant Professor of Integrative Biology. Ingo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Russ. Nice to be with you here today. Thank you.
What is integrative biology?
Well, integrative biology is, the way we phrase it, is we like to understand the entire spread of biological organization, which is from molecules to ecosystems. And traditionally, the Department of Integrative Biology has been working with animal subjects. So we used to be the Department of Zoology, but we have been rephrased a few years back as the Department of Integrative Biology. And in my own research, as part of the spread from molecules to ecosystems, I would like to understand how the genome encodes the information for morphological organizations, so for how animals are set up and organized in their body and in their behavior and physiology, and how we then come from different types of these morphological organizations to large biodiversity, in my case, in the world of fishes.
Tell me about your research and what you found.
We as humans belong to the group that we call the tetrapods, which are the land-dwelling vertebrates. And the tetrapods emerged from fishes a long time in evolution. So in a very strict scientific sense, we are fishes that somehow have evolved the capability to live on land. And this observation manifests itself in how our genome is set up. So 70% or so of the genes that we have will be found in a fish. And also how we develop from embryos to adults is very similar in fish to humans. So we can use these similarities to use fishes as a model system to understand human biology and human diseases, and do tests with these fishes that can represent some of the aspects that go wrong when a human gets a disease.
So what's next, and what's kind of on the horizon for your work?
Specifically in my work, I try to help people or researchers that do this kind of modeling of human diseases in fish systems. And the devil is in the details, so it is sometimes not as straightforward to identify the same genomic regions in a human and a fish. And by analyzing the whole diversity of fishes at the genomic level and the developmental level, I try to help those biomedical folks to better connect their research data from fish to precisely then identify what those regions are in the human genome.
Is it too simple to say studying fish can help us improve human health?
Absolutely. You always hear this term from bench to bedside, but in the case of fish, I think we should say from tank to bedside and back. So there's tons and tons of examples where fish research have already led to important and significant understanding of human diseases. One example I bring up in my talk is the case of cleft palate. So a typical malformation that happens with high frequency in humans. And what my colleagues have found is that the same genes that affect cleft palate in human can also be found in fish, and vice versa. There have been cases where cleft palate has been identified in fish, and it later turned out that these same genes are affected in humans. And that leads us then to situations where we can use the fish to potentially treat humans.
So you did present your work, as you sort of hinted at the August 31st MSU Board of Trustees meeting. Are there a couple of messages you hope you got across to the group there?
There are three main messages I would like to convey, or maybe four. One is fishes are important at many different levels to understand our own nature and our own history, evolutionarily speaking. So one is that we emerged from fishes, and if we study fishes, we learn a lot about ourselves. The second is that fish are incredibly diverse, so by studying fishes, we can learn a lot about biodiversity and the challenges that come with global change and so on. And thirdly, then, of course, how we can use fishes to learn more about human disease and use the fish model system to develop treatments for human disease. Lastly, I hope I also could convey that MSU is becoming an important player in the world of fish biology. So by studying in multiple labs different fish systems, I think we have a nice cohort of colleagues at MSU to study fish biology and in all these facets.
So Ingo Brasch, I know you have a personalized license plate, Garwin. Can you explain that to us and talk about the fish you do study?
Yes. So so Garwin is a Chimeric word coming from Darwin, Charles Darwin, and gar, which are fishes that I study in my lab. As already recognized by Charles Darwin in his seminal book, Origin of Species, from 1859, he described situations in which living species can resemble species from the fossil record, so long extinct species, a lot. And the example that he used was, among other species, the gars, the garfishes, and those are the ones that I study in my lab. They are very old fish. They have been around for more than 100 million years. They have, so to speak, they swam with the dinosaurs. And in their body plan, they resemble a lot long extinct lineages of fishes. And in their genome, as it turned out through our research, their genome in its organization and what kind of genes it encodes and what kind of functionalities these genes encode, it resembles a lot the common ancestor of the bony vertebrates, so to speak, the common ancestor of ourselves, of the human lineage, and of all the modern fishes that we usually study. So a modern fish in my lab that I study is the zebrafish, which is a common lab model that is used in hundreds of labs around the world. And so by the comparison of zebrafish to this very old fish, the garfish, to human, we can knit together the whole understanding of the genomic and genetic relations of our own evolutionary past and potentially also how we can learn more about human diseases.
So, Ingo, what's on the horizon as you and your colleagues study fish? What are some of your, let's say, short-term and long-term research goals?
Yeah, so I think we live in very exciting times because due to the revolutions in genomic sequencing techniques, it's nowadays possible to basically sequence any organism on the planet. There are more than 30,000 species of fish, so half of all vertebrates, of living vertebrates, so of all the animals that have a backbone are fish. And we are heavily involved in sequencing and analyzing and comparing a lot of fish genomes. And through this whole process, we hope to learn in very fine detail how the vertebrate lineage, the fish lineage, but also our own lineage, has gone through changes in the genome that have generated this massive biodiversity of fishes and other vertebrates on the planet. And this is going to be a decade-long process. Maybe the sequencing is going to be done in a few years from now. But sifting through all these data and then developing hypotheses from these data about how genomes changed and how morphologies changed, how body plans changed, for example, to make a fish into a land-living tetrapod, that's going to take decades to go. The other exciting revolution that's happening right now is that with the CRISPR genome editing technology, we can, for the first time in almost any fish, test the function of any given gene. And that's what we are doing right now in my lab, to identify key genes that have key roles for certain biological aspects, and then using this genome editing technique to understand more about their function. So what happens when we break the gene? What does it do to the fish? What happens when we add extra of this gene to the genome? What happens when we change the activity of the genes in a way that it is suddenly active in other parts of the body than it usually does not do? And from this, we try to learn more about these genes that may have been essential for many aspects of biology, including crawling on land and becoming a land vertebrate.
Well, Ingo Brasch, thank you for telling us about your interesting research today on MSU Today.
Yeah, thanks, Wes. Great to be here. The Twitter feed of our lab is at FishEvoDivoGeno.
And again, that's Ingo Brasch. He's an MSU Assistant Professor of Integrative Biology. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.